I hope that you will consider contributing to Sinai in the coming year to keep the children warm. It's very sad. I actually do want to talk about the coming year, because like many of you on television and in newspapers and so on, I've seen predictions about the new year and comments about the new year, and most of them are bad. All the things that are looming, all the threats in the world that are coming to get us and that will cause 2015 to be a bad year. And so I decided to look back at the predictions for 2014, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. It's made easy, you just Google it. And I did the research and I realized that for every year, if you go back far enough, I mean, there are sort of even predictions. This book or movie or recording artist will come out with a new song, and this movie will show, and this TV series might be a hit. But when you look at predictive articles, they generally are pessimistic. I can't tell you how many years the economy was going to collapse, and how many times this was going to be the year that China would overtake the United States, or that this or that industry would finally fail, or this or that law, which would be catastrophic for the future of our country, was going to pass because this or that party controlled the White House and the Congress. Every single year. And I began to realize that as much as I do believe that individuals affect history, that it's worth remembering that history's bigger than individuals. And that big trends over time tend to tell us much more about what's going to happen than how we feel about this or that party or person. I've told people for years that I always advise them not to fall in love or in hate with any given politician, president on down. It's just unwise. First of all, it makes you overlook their virtues or their flaws, depending on whether you love them or hate them. And it makes you slave to a certain outlook that doesn't allow for hesitations or second thoughts. If you want to love a president, love Lincoln. Lincoln, first of all, he's not on the ballot in 2016, and so you're safe. And second, his life has been thoroughly investigated. There are more books about Lincoln, they say, than anyone except for Jesus and possibly Napoleon. But apart from Lincoln, it's best to realize that America is much bigger than the people who lead it. And that America in 2015, you can be fairly confident, will have all sorts of challenges and difficulties and flaws and pains, and will still be the most remarkable country that has ever existed in the history of humanity. Partly that's true because you realize that your 2015 will have a lot more to do with you than it will with whoever leads the country. That is, your personal life will affect your year much more than whatever law Congress passes or doesn't pass. What happens to the people you love? What happens to you? And what it is that affects your life most, to the extent that it's not just random and happenstance, is affected by things that are created in this country. Everything from modern medicine to modern technology to modern entertainment. When you think about it, the things that generally enrich our lives are created here. When you talk about modern technology, what are you talking about? Your iPhone, your iPad, your personal computer, your software. It's all here. When you talk about medical research, yes, medical research goes on in many countries, but there's no comparison. We still draw the best and the brightest from all across the world, and they don't come here because of whoever is or is not president or whoever does or doesn't run Congress. They come here because the fabric of America and the freedom of America and the creativity and dynamism of America and the way that it has been open for generations to the best and the brightest are unlike any other place. So much so that even when people talk about things that they don't really know very much about, it's predicated on America's strength. Like today, in the paper it said, what language will most of the world be speaking in 100 years? And the author decided it would be English. Because even though, I don't know, like, how many times more people speak Mandarin Chinese than speak English, the fact is that the technological substratum of the world has already been laid, and it's been laid in English. And that's because of America. If you're a child anywhere in the world and you want to create something that the world will pay attention to, the first thing you want to do is learn English. And with all due respect to the British Empire, it's not because of the Queen. It's much more because of Bill Gates than it is because of any personality here or there or anywhere else. In other words, it's the world of technology and the world of advancement. And that's here. And the world of business. And that's here. And even the world of finance, even though there are great financial and cultural capitals elsewhere, ultimately, it's here. And when people talk about being the world's policeman, whether they like being the world's policeman or not, they're not talking about France. When countries are in trouble, they're either upset that the United States is there or isn't there, but they're upset at us. The degree of cultural, political, military, economic influence that the United States wields throughout the world is unprecedented in history. First of all, because we wield it throughout the world, and no other empire even knew what the entire world was, much less had the influence that we do. But that means that we shouldn't be so scared that one law, year, war, right or wrong, one entanglement, one mistake, one personality is going to all of a sudden send this empire crashing down. This is a vast interconnected web that we are a part of. And it depends on the abilities and the creativity and the genius of many people over many centuries in our institutions, our art museums, our symphony halls, our hospitals, our businesses, our universities. The fact that all of these still have a good claim to being the best in the world is a function not of any particular policy or law, but part of the fabric of the creation of this nation. I'm not a big fan of New Year's. I don't like going to bed late. I just don't. I know, but I don't. I don't like any holiday that says you have to stay up till midnight or you can't celebrate the holiday. I was asleep. You know what? I woke up and it was still the new year. So I had champagne for breakfast. Okay, I didn't, but it was a good lie. I had coffee, but... I'm not a big fan of New Year's, but it is, and the reason I'm not is because there's no content to it. When we say in our tradition, v'samachta b'chagecha, you should be happy in your holiday, it's because it celebrates something substantial and important that you can learn about, and it has specific rituals and so on, so there's something there. But New Year's is essentially a contentless holiday that's an accident of the calendar. It's what it is. And on it, you're supposed to be happy and drink too much. There's almost nothing about this holiday that actually really appeals to me that much. But it's a great time to take stock. It really is. And to give it the content that it doesn't naturally have. And it's a wonderful time for Americans to feel grateful. And to realize how many people, over how many generations, had not just to sacrifice, but also to create and work and flourish to enable us to be in the position where I can assure you, whatever happens in 2015, the leading country in the world in 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20 will still be the United States of America. That's a remarkable, astonishing, and by the way, for the world, a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're having Bret Stephens. He's a columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He's going to be here on January 22nd. And he's a very smart guy, and he's a very stern critic of the current government, and he just wrote a book called America in Retreat. And at the beginning of the book, which I've read about half of in preparation for his coming, and I'll read the rest over the next week, at the beginning of the book, he says, notice I don't say America in decline. I say America in retreat, because my read of it is that we're pulling away from some things that we should be in, but Americans should know that this country is still not only extraordinary in the world, but extraordinary in history. America is not in decline. We are still the place that that gifted kid in that remote town in a country that can't support his or her dreams, we're still the place that she dreams of and wants to come to and will come to and will make us better for it. So on this new year, in 2015, for those of us who have lots and lots and lots of things to be grateful for, let's not forget to be grateful for what is, in some ways, the first blessing of our non-personal lives, that is, away from our health, our family, our friends, our faith, which is our own first personal blessing. Let's be grateful for this country, which is an extraordinary place and will continue to be. And remember to couch your criticisms of it, because there's lots to criticize, of its leaders, because there's lots to criticize, of its failures, because it will fail, as any great enterprise will fail, again and again and again, in the language of love. Certainly, as Jews, we know there just has never been a place like the United States of America. And because of it, we've contributed in unprecedented ways to this nation. We have enriched it in ways untold. It's a great symbiosis. And in 2015, we will have the opportunity to see anew what it is that this country can do, and to be a part of what is, in some ways, the greatest continuing experiment in the history of humanity. That is the idea that people from different places, of different races, with different creeds, and different religions, can together forge a country that was founded in freedom and believes that ultimately that's the destiny of humanity, and is willing to take the risk to lead the way. Shabbat Shalom.